Utah football has some key returners, also had some key departures from their first ever Pac-12 championship season last year. So how are they going to fill those gaps? We got some insight from their spring game. We talk about it today. Let's go.
Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. I'm your host, Spencer McLaughlin, D1 play-by-play broadcaster. Thanks for making this your first listen or your first view if you're watching on YouTube every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your number one source to stay up to date with the Conference of Champions right here. And we're talking Utah football today. If my voice sounds a little grainy, a little out there, I was at Disneyland today, so there was some yelling on ride, so that's why that might sound a little bit like that. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Let's go to Salt Lake City and get to Utah's spring game, which happened a little while ago. Same day that Oregon had theirs, or a couple other that day that I'm forgetting. I want to say USC was that day as well. I think they were all on the same day, but anywho, it was a rainy, kind of miserable looking day in Salt Lake City for Utah. The final score was 21-14, which is kind of what you would expect for a team that led the conference in defense a season ago. Whereas, you know, Washington State's final score is 56-51. Now I know the rules are, you know, funky in some ways, though Utah had a classic straight up down the line red and white game. They had different quarterbacks on each side, different running backs, receivers, linemen, which I think is the best way to evaluate the players. And it's definitely the most fun for fans. And even though it was rainy and the sun poked its head out a couple times for Utah in this game, but it was not the most ideal situation, and still 10,000 fans were in the stadium, which is I wouldn't have gone to a game that I was for a team that I was a fan of. I wouldn't have gone to a game like this if it was going to be miserable. So shout out to the Utes faithful for showing up, a really solid showing for a day that was pretty cold, and it was very, very wet as well. Let's start with the biggest takeaways. Same as we've been doing with our continuing coverage of the spring games here on Locked On Pac-12. The quarterback battle is non-existent, and we all know that. And there shouldn't be one, because Cam Rising was a first-team All-Pac-12 performer. Utah wins their first-ever Pac-12 conference championship. They go to the Rose Bowl. They come that close to knocking off Ohio State and becoming the second Pac-12 team to beat the Buckeyes in 2021. But they come up just short. But Cam Rising was a revelation. I mean, it looked like they had a legitimate quarterback battle last year. And Cam Rising didn't come out on top. He didn't. They went with Charlie Brewer, and then that wasn't going very well. They make the switch, and that was a really good decision. So Cam Rising is going to be the starter. No one has had any questions about that. But the guy who's behind him is a little bit up in the air. And look, you might be saying, Spencer, who cares about who the backup quarterback is going to be? You never think about who the backup quarterback is going to be until Cam Rising, God forbid, gets hurt on some fluky play, or maybe a non-fluky play, or gets sent out of a game because of an injury, or, lest I remind you what happened in the Rose Bowl, when he did get hurt in that game, and Bryson Barnes had to step in. You never know when that sort of thing is going to come into play. You know, you can go years while having health insurance and not using it at all, and you might be thinking, boy, do I need this? Do I need to be paying for this? Does this need to be coming out of my paycheck? Is that a thing? But then the day comes where, I don't know, maybe you eat a piece of bread with gluten in it, your body reacts horribly, and you need to be able to go to the hospital and not have a giant medical bill. So you never know when that situation is going to arise. And for Utah, it came up in the Rose Bowl. And so the guys who are going after the backup quarterback slot are Bryson Barnes, who was almost the hero of the Rose Bowl, but Utes couldn't quite come out on top in what was just another classic game in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. It really is the granddaddy of them all. Does it deliver every year or what? Are there any other bowl games at any, whether it's a New Year's Six or not, they consistently deliver elite college football games with great environments and a great setting and just a phenomenal on the field product in the Rose Bowl. There's just something about it. It just has that sort of effect. Certainly had that last year. Bryson Barnes is battling for the number two slot with Jaquindon Jackson, who transferred in from Texas. And, you know, both of them had some nice moments. Barnes actually had, I'd never seen this before in a spring game. He had a 55-yard rushing touchdown, and Cam Rising wasn't allowed to get hit, but these two guys both were. And I think that speaks to Kyle Whittingham's determination to figure out who the best of them truly is to back up Cam Rising this year. Bryson Barnes had a 55-yard rushing touchdown called back because of an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that he committed as he was scoring the touchdown. I think he was doing a little taunting, maybe a little jarring with the guy who was trying to chase him. I've never seen that in a spring game. I really have not. I don't know why it was thrown, frankly, but that was a play that he was able to make. But both made some really nice throws. Both had some throws they certainly liked to have back, but in the rain, throwing with a wet ball in those conditions when it was cold and far from ideal, you might have to play in that sort of environment in Utah at some point, but it was raining really, really hard. And so I think that was tough. And I was impressed with the throws that they were able to make. You know, I mean, Cam Rising didn't play a lot in this game. It was a great opportunity for both Jackson and Barnes to showcase their talents and, you know, display to the coaching staff what they're able to do and why they should be the top option should something happen to Cam Rising. So I think they both had really nice throws. They both had some that, you know, were just okay, but maybe were influenced by the rain a little bit. I have to imagine that Bryson Barnes has an advantage here to be the number two quarterback just because of what he did in the Rose Bowl. I mean, he marched them right down the field. You talk about coming in a brutal, brutal spot when your quarterback goes down, your team's down a touchdown, and you walk in there in front of millions watching on TV and however many thousands in the stadium and the hopes of the Utah fans of finally breaking through to win not just the Pac-12 championship, which they'd already done, but the Rose Bowl as well. And you go right down the field and you score against Ohio State. I mean, that was a big boy drive. That was a big boy drive. He made some really, really good throws. I just have to imagine that because it's the same staff from a season ago and they saw all of that take place, it's got to give him somewhat of an advantage. Right? Coaches can't unsee. No one can unsee that stuff. I mean, it was so jarring to see a former walk-on come in and just go right down the field in the Rose Bowl, score a touchdown. I think that he's probably the number two. And I think if you break down, you know, on a throw-by-throw basis, Jackson and Barnes in the spring game, Barnes would come out on top as well. So he's probably the leader in the clubhouse to back up Cam Rising this year. But, you know, I was impressed with some of the things that Jackson was able to do. And I don't know that there's another team in the Pac-12 that has three quarterbacks as good 1-3 as Utah has right now. And that's a great luxury to have because you never know when you might need them. Ohio State won a national championship with a third string quarterback. Cardale Jones was behind JT Barrett and Braxton Miller, right? Yeah, something like that sounds right. And Cardale Jones ended up winning the national championship against Oregon. So I think that Utah fans should feel really confident about the quarterback room. They've got three quality guys in there. And Cam Rising, first team all Pac-12 a season ago, none a lot better than that. I want to talk about Rising and Thomas here, or Tavion Thomas, that is, because I think them being back is a great sign for Utah. For more than one reason. I'll tell you why after I tell you about BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, go Mariners, and this weekend's run to the Roses as the Kentucky Derby is back. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. having both Cam Rising and Tavion Thomas back is good from a production standpoint, but it's also good from a stability standpoint. And I talked about this with UCLA and them bringing back both DTR and Zach Charbonnet. You know that you can rely on both those players. And it's the same thing with Utah. You know what you're going to get from Cam Rising. You know what you're going to get from Tavion Thomas, assuming that they're able to stay healthy. And having that dependable tandem in the backfield is such an advantage for a coaching staff, especially in an age where roster turnover and change and guys leaving is just rampant, right? It's not very often that you can bring back all conference caliber players to your team, but Utah is able to do that with both the quarterback and the running back. And I think those are going to be the anchors for this Utah offense, but there are other guys who have to step up for Utah this year as well. And let's get to the players who might have earned some playing time based on their spring game performances and how they showed out during spring practice overall this year for the Utes. First one is running back Jalen Glover. And look, Tavion Thomas is the number one guy. We all know that. There's no questions about it. Same thing as Rising. It's going to be Rising and Thomas behind the center, and they will be featured a lot in the offense, as they should. But you have to have complementary pieces around them because Tavion Thomas can't take every snap, and Cam Rising is a really good quarterback, but is also not in a scheme where he's going to, you know, throw the ball in an air raid style approach 40, 50, or even 60 times a game. He's at his best when he can, you know, make solid, efficient throws, utilize play action, get on the move a little bit, and maybe throw in the 25 to 30 range. And so you have to have a run game, and to do that, you have to have more than one running back. And I think Jalen Glover, boy, he looked really good. He's a four-star freshman from Lakeland, Florida, and he was a noticeable standout in the spring game this year. He had 36 yards on 5 carries, which is fantastic. Over 7 yards per touch, including a 20-yard scamper. He's 5'7", and he's 211 pounds. And when you watch him, he looks pretty nimble for a guy that size. He also looks a little bit taller, I think, than 5'7", but he kind of has that bowling ball build to him. And I think you run him between the tackles. He can bounce it outside as well. He's got enough lateral quickness to do that. But I like the way that he runs from the left tackle to the right tackle, right? In between that zone, running behind a guard or a center. I think he can do that. And He showed a lot, and he's going to be a true freshman this year, but he is somebody who Utah fans could perhaps get used to seeing carrying the ball to spell Tavion Thomas from time to time, because he was certainly impressive in the spring game, and coaches have, you know, I think, taken notice of his play this spring overall. Another guy is Devon Vele, the wide receiver. And Vele... It's just such a weird thing to say. He's a fourth-year sophomore. I mean, it's just, yeah. Anyhow, so Vele is 6'5". He's got a really good size, great frame, big catch radius. He had 72 yards in the receiving or in the spring game catching the ball, and that was the most of any Utah wide receiver. He didn't catch a touchdown, though he would have. He had his guys beat on a scramble drill down the field, but Bryson Barnes underthrew him just a little bit, so the DB was able to get back into it and make a nice deflection. But if this guy can stay healthy, I think he can be a really, and he hasn't, you know, shown a major injury history, at least that I'm aware of. He might have one and such, and in fact, the coaches mentioned that, so maybe he does. But I'll be honest, I didn't look that far into each of his past couple of seasons or whatnot. But Kyle Whittingham was very praiseworthy of Vele, and when you watch him, he does a lot of good things catching the ball, and he can beat a guy at the line of scrimmage. He's a solid route runner. He's very fluid when he runs at 6'5", and he's not too skinny. And Whittingham, when asked about him, said, "Quote." If Devon can stay healthy and if he can continue to make the plays that he made all spring long and carry that over into fall camp and then in the season, he could have a big year for us. I think he's right. And the chemistry that he's developed with Cam Rising at this point in his career is palpable when you watch them throw the ball to one another on the tape when you check out the spring game. So I think that's somebody who Utes fans should be looking for, right? There's no more Britton Covey in the receiving core, and it was kind of wide receiver by committee after Britton Covey a year ago for Utah. I think Vele has the potential to be kind of the number one guy, at least on the outside. And I really liked what I saw from him in this game. And he, I think, can run the entire route tree. And 6'5", you take some shots down the field to him. You let him run one-on-one routes in the red zone to catch some fades in the corner. And, you know, you put a smaller corner on this guy, the DB is going to struggle. You have to have somebody who's at least 6 feet tall if you're going to match up with him, because I think he knows how to use his size pretty well, and not tremendously experienced in terms of on the field stuff, but a fourth year sophomore, it's not as if he doesn't know the program. And I think he showed some really, really good things. Mekhi Cope is another wide receiver, all offensive players who stood out at least the most in the spring game for Utah this year. Mekhi Cope had the play of the day in this game for Utah. And if you're a Utes fan out there and you watch the spring game, you know the one I'm talking about. It was Cam Rising's, I believe, only drive of the game. And Rising, coming down inside the 20-yard line, throws a back shoulder to the left sideline. And Cope reaches out with one hand, contorting his body in the rain, and makes a one-handed snag and tucks it in tight to make the grab and set up first and goal for the offense that was later a touchdown on a beautiful throw from Cam Rising to a tight end in the back of the end zone. And it's hard to ignore that play, frankly. And he did other things in this game. Mekhi Cope had a touchdown later. I believe he caught it from Jackson that was absolutely filthy. Just absolutely filthy. The move he put on the defensive back who was attempting to guard him at the line of scrimmage, he beat him for a one-on-one fade route. It was a pretty easy throw because he created so much separation. That was showing a lot. And so when you lose a reliable player like Britton Covey from last year's team, you need guys to step up. And Mekhi Cope showed a lot in this game, and so did Devon Vele. And, you know, both are impressive guys when you watch them and the sort of plays that they're able to make. That catch from Cope, it would have been great without the rain, but the rain was there. And so it was even better when you think about it, because that ball can get really, really slippery, even with gloves. And that was just a tremendous level of concentration, hand-eye coordination, and skill from the Utes wideout. So I would watch for those three guys: Jalen Glover, the running back, the true freshman from Lakeland, Florida, and then Devon Vele and Mekhi Cope on the perimeter. I think those are three names that earn playing time this year in the spring game for Utah. Going forward for the Utes, there's not a ton of questions on the roster. I mean, if you really get down and go player by player and position by position, you can find some, right? Every team has that because you lose players every year. The only one that I would say is glaring in terms of what they're going to have to notably address and be competent in to repeat the success they had last year, winning the Pac-12 South and Pac-12 championship game against Oregon when they thumped them for the second time in 3 weeks. The linebacking unit is the biggest question mark here, because they're just losing so much production there. And Nephi Sewell and Devin Lloyd going to the Jags. And boy, Lloyd falling to 27, I think, is a gift to Jacksonville. He should have been a top 15 pick. He wasn't. He falls to 27. I think there's some real potential there after a year or two to look back and go, wow, how did that guy fall to number 27? Because look at what he is doing now. But that just leaves a lot of question marks. When you lose two NFL caliber players, and the Sewells, of course, a great football family, and, you know, those were two really productive guys last year for Utah. And you just ask yourself, how do you go forward from there when you lose guys who were so good, who were just staples on the defense, who were reliable? They brought in Mahamu Diabate from Florida, who in 3 years down in Gainesville played in 37 games with 17 starts. Well, it was a solidly productive player. I think that from a production standpoint, it's hard to match what Devin Lloyd and Nephi Sewell were able to do for the Utes defensively. But the biggest question I have with Diabate there is Lloyd was the undisputed leader of the defense last year for Utah, right? Now there's a little bit of a void. And you tend to look to a middle linebacker for that leadership position because they're typically known as the quarterbacks of the defense. Utah has been no different the last couple of years with Devin Lloyd roaming from sideline to sideline. So Diabate, yes, he needs to be productive, but I think he also has to show a bit of a leadership potential and step into that sort of role because I don't know at this point in time where it's going to come from defensively for Utah when your undisputed number one leader and tone setter Devin Lloyd goes to the NFL and you don't have him anymore. It just kind of leaves your defense in this place of, okay, so who are we looking to? Who's making the calls? Who's leading the guys? Who's holding everybody accountable? And if Diabate can come in and get control of the defense from the sense of, you know, having guys respect him and respecting his experience and the talent that he brings in as well, I think that could be really valuable for Utah's defense. Last thing here on the Utes, recapping the spring game today. How do you operate offensively without Britton Covey? What do you do in the special teams unit without Britton Covey back there? I mean, as good of a kick returner and punt returner as the Pac-12 has seen in the last 15, 20 years, I think the only guys really comparable to him are DeSean Jackson from Cal, DeAnthony Thomas at Oregon. I mean, that's probably it. He's on a short list of some of the best return specialists we've ever seen in this conference. And so that's a big guy to lose, and someone who is with Utah for such a long time, you know, that sort of loss changes the locker room in addition to the on-field production that you lose. And, you know, that's why I was talking about the wide receivers, Mekhi Cope and Devon Vele, is they have to fill that void, you know, where Covey was just so reliable. You know, who is Cam Rising going to be looking to on third down consistently throughout this year? Last season, he was always looking for number 18. This year, is it going to be Vele, number 17? I mean, he's got the number. Maybe it's close enough. That's more of a joke than anything. But, you know, I think that's why you want to look at this wide receiver unit and see, you know, who's going to be able to step up and fill that void. Last thing here on the linebackers as well, I forgot to mention. There are three linebackers who have covered Utah and were at the spring game that they want to keep an eye on. Lander Barton, Justin Medlock, Carson Tabarachi. Those are guys who might see some regular playing time this year for Utah defensively. And I think that if you start to see their names pop up a little bit more as the season goes on, that wouldn't be a major surprise. But, you know, not a ton of question marks going forward for Utah. They just have to show up on Saturdays. I mean, the talent is there to win the Pac-12 South again, even with Lincoln Riley at USC. And it's certainly more competitive now that the Trojans are going to be a much improved team, and they will not be 4-8. They will be far from it this year. But I think there's a lot of reason for Utah fans to once again feel good after the spring game and they look ahead to 2022. I appreciate everyone listening. I'll see you next time and have a wonderful rest of your day.